Praise God. Hello, everyone out there in Radio Land, wherever you might be. We are live today, as always, in the studio of Tan Talk 1340 here in Clearwater, Florida. This is Pastor Marcia McAllister, and we are bringing you Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries, week after week, and now in our seventh year, Nan. And beside me is Nan Watson. And then we will be joined in a little while by Carol up in Georgia, and that's always exciting. She always brings a lot of insights, and it's really good. Nan, how we doing? You've been doing this now for a couple years on the radio, haven't
yes,
you?
Yes, a couple years now.
Yeah, do you enjoy it at all?
I love it. It's a highlight of my week to it be is. Able to have the opportunity to come here and share the Word of God amongst ourselves and share with whoever's listening and feeling the anointing, and it's just very powerful.
The anointing of God, the presence of God. That's why we have that theme song. We've had that theme song the whole time we've done the show now, going into our seventh year, because it is all about God's presence in our lives. And when He reaches down and ministers to us and through us, then amazing things happen, like what happened today at Beacon of Hope. It was a great day, wasn't it?
Oh, it was a fantastic day.
Yes, very good. And God always anoints the word, anoints the music. The praise and worship was amazing today. And that trumpet helped a lot. Wasn't your trumpet? It was
Sheila's
trumpet.
I left mine at home.
I don't think you play the trumpet.
The secret is I don't have one at all, okay?
But boy, that trumpet added a lot today to
definitely.
Worship. And so we're just so glad you've all joined us. We're going to talk about the Lord today, as we do every Sunday. Two-hour show. It's such a blessing to be able to be on the air and share the Word of God and the praise reports, the things that are happening. Nan, there are people out there who need some place that they can touch base with for prayer needs. Can you tell them about our prayer ministry? And, you know, we've got that the new address to it now, and I'm going to write it right here so that you remember it.
I appreciate that.
BOHMglobal.com. There we go. So tell about that, will you? And
well,
who can use it?
Anybody. It's an outreach of Beacon, of course. There are what they do is they can send their email their prayer request into prayers@BOHMglobal.com.
Very good. You read that great off my paper.
I read it sideways, too. Are you impressed?
There we go.
And basically, they have prayer requests. Send it in. There's a prayer team, which is made up of anyone who wants to be part of that prayer team. Usually, Carol or Pastor Jim pull off the prayer request, put it in an email with a prayer. That is important, because sometimes you maybe don't even know how to pray about some things, but there's a prayer that you can pray, and there's nothing wrong with saying that prayer. You know, it's just unified with many people, and just the prayers are prayed for that. So if someone even wants to join and be part of the prayer team, they can email at, and I'll read off your paper again.
Okay.
prayers@BOHM, that's for Beacon of Hope Ministries, prayers@BOHMglobal.com.
We want more prayers. We want people to join the prayer team.
Absolutely.
And we're getting ready on June 12th to have another amazing night of prayer, where go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, and be a part of the 10,000 Prayer Strong. And we are praying for our nation, our government, Congress, all of that. There's so much to pray about, and we'll be talking more about that soon. But it's an exciting time. There's so much going on in the world. It seems like, Nan, every time I turn on the news, there's some other catastrophe, hurricanes, tornadoes, floods. just so much going on around the globe. We really need to be a people of prayer for these people that have been in the wake of disasters lately. There's just so many. The Oklahoma is just the most recent one, but just amazing things that have been going on that these people need prayer. They need intercession for their situations.
Oh, I have seen, you know, many. I'm usually a newspaper kind of person, but I have been watching some news on TV. And, you know, I was trying to think of the series of videotapes. I think it maybe was back in the 80s, Left Behind.
Left Behind, yes.
And I thought of that the other day because I can remember watching them. And on that Left Behind, it was just catastrophe after catastrophe. And they would share this and share that. And all this stuff was happening. And I thought, you know, the news accounts today look like what was on that prophetic type.
That's a
programming
great point.
But tapes, the videotapes that we had back then, you know, that this could be the way it is at the end of in the days when Christ is coming.
Well, we know he's coming back soon. Tsunamis, who heard of that? I mean, we've had those in the last few years, earthquakes, tornadoes, so much has happened, and forest fires and floods. Mm-hmm. And we don't say all that to be gloom and doom or anything, but just to make everyone aware that the time is short. Jesus is coming back, and he's coming back for his bride, the church. And we have a responsibility to prepare our hearts and get ready and do all we can between now and then to bring people into the kingdom of God, to talk to them about God's love for them, and to help them realize their need for a Savior. It is vitally important that Christians around the globe get involved in prayer for people that are not saved, and really get serious about this whole thing and enter this battle of the last days.
Well, I know that it's kind of challenged me to say, you know, Jesus really is coming soon. I mean, I've heard it all my life. I'm 51, 52. Jesus is coming soon. He really is coming soon.
We don't know when he's coming.
But, I mean, it has stirred within me perhaps maybe a little complacency I felt maybe in that particular area. I mean, I'm not trying to confess or anything, but it's reality.
A lot of people do.
You know, and you have to kind of get refocused on what is most important here.
Exactly.
And that's winning souls for Jesus too.
Absolutely.
For the benefit of them going to heaven.
Absolutely. That is what it's all about. We've got a great show today. We're glad you've tuned in. We're talking about standing firm in our faith, standing on the promises. When things are coming at you right and left that you have no clue how to solve, all kinds of life's difficult moments, you got to learn how to stand. And we're talking about that. I taught on it this morning. We'll do a different angle from it today on the radio. But it's all about standing and becoming all that God has for us to become. I've asked Connie to pull a couple older songs for this show, some that we used to use in my church in Indiana when I pastored there. And this first one is from that time period, probably back in the late 80s. The Warrior is a Child, and the artist is Twyla Paris.
I go running home when I
Warrior is a child, and we are going to talk today on Living the Good Life about doing battle in the Spirit. We are going to talk about the fact that we are children of God. Those of you out there that have accepted the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior and you are doing your best to walk with Him on a daily basis, you got to become aware that you need to be a warrior. You need to battle in the Spirit. You need to realize that the devil is really always your enemy and always out to cause problems for you, discourage you, defeat you. Nan, I think a lot of people go periods of time in their lives where they just kind of like tune out the fact that the devil is really causing them problems and wants to see them defeated. Don't you think there's some people bury their head in the sand?
Oh, most definitely. You know, a lot of times people don't want to have to face what they need to face to deal with what they need to deal with. So they better just, you know, do like the ostrich, put the head in the sand and it'll go away. It'll get better. It'll whatever. And it doesn't.
And we got to learn to fight.
We have to
fight. So for all of you listening today or those that will listen at a later time to this broadcast on our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, today we're going to teach you more on how to stand strong and fight the attacks of the devil. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for this opportunity around the globe to spread your word of life, your words that do change us, that get down on the inside of us, your words that give us hope and encouragement, your words that teach us how to battle in the Spirit. Lord, we ask you right now that every listener that listens live or that listens at a later time on our website will actually learn the truths of fighting and battle, and by the end of the show become stronger in the Word of God and stronger in their stance against the devil and all of his tricks and schemes. Lord, we thank you that we are victorious through you and that as we speak and declare your word, lives are changed, and as we declare your word out over our own lives, we become more like Jesus. So, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity. Bless each hearer today in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been in the book of Ephesians for a while here, and we've been talking about developing confidence, courage, and developing a life of no condemnation. Three C's. In fact, this whole series has been three C's for T3. And if you take notes, what that means is three words that bring us the ability to take territory against the enemy. So it is territory taking time. That's the T3. Territory taking time. And the three C's are confidence, courage, and no condemnation. And the book of Ephesians is divided up into three main concepts: sit, walk, stand. Where do you sit? You sit with confidence. That's that first C. You sit with confidence knowing that Jesus says to us through the Apostle Paul in the book of Ephesians, chapters 1 and 2, that we are seated with him, with Jesus, in heavenly places. We learn how to stand against the attacks of the devil. And one way we learn it, we first have to get some confidence of where we are seated. We taught on that a few weeks ago. If you want it, that teaching, go back a few weeks on our radio shows and you'll get that. Then we started talking about walking with God on a daily basis. So sit and walk. And we walk with courage. We don't give up. We don't just say, oh, this battle's too big. It's awful. I'm so tired. I can't do it. No, we walk with courage. And so we taught on that concept for a few weeks. And now we are to the third part of the book of Ephesians where we are learning how to stand. So it is sit, walk, stand. And the three C's, you sit with confidence, you walk with courage, and you stand with no condemnation. All of this is important as we learn to take territory away from the devil. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 6 and start with verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord. I'm in the NIV. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. That is the admonition we need to hear. We, after it's all said and done, we got to learn to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. We cannot give in to the daily attacks that the devil throws our way. I'm going to talk to Nan and Carol about this in a little while. But first, I want to start by teaching you a few verses here. Verse 11 of Ephesians 6. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Now, Paul knew the devil was all the time scheming and lying and doing everything he could to steal your peace. We're going to talk about that in a little while. The goal for the devil always is to take your peace. If you take notes, write that down. The devil wants to steal you. He wants to steal you away and to a place where you're not walking in peace. You're walking in unrest. You're walking in worry, doubt, fear. And God says, Jesus said in John 10:10, and I think I quote this verse every single week, and John 10:10, mm-hmm. Jesus said, the thief, that's the devil, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, but I have come to give you life and to give it abundantly. So we have to learn to fight and stand so that we'll walk in that abundant life. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand. There's the word right there. Take your stand against the devil's schemes. Does he scheme against us? Absolutely. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. You know, we get all upset with so-and-so, sister so-and-so. I don't say sister. You're the one that says that,
I'm
Nan.
I'm the one who says that.
Yeah, we get so upset with our friends and neighbors and relatives or coworkers, and we think that they're, a lot of times, that they're doing all this stuff against us. And a lot of times it's the devil scheming against us and then finding a willing vessel to be a spokesperson to say all those ugly things. But the root of it all is a scheme of the devil. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. If you don't think there is a whole band of opposition coming at us, the word says that when Satan fell, he used to be the minister of music in heaven. When he fell, he took about a third of the angels with him. Those are those demonic spirits that roam around causing all kinds of trouble. And their goal here in Ephesians 6:12 is this. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. These places exist. There are principalities. There are powers. There are groups of demonic spirits that do everything they can to discourage you, defeat you, get you to turn away from walking with God. Let me go on for a moment, and then we're going to get some comments here. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to curl up in the fetal position.
That's not what mine says.
It doesn't say give up. Doesn't say give up.
No, give up.
Huh. Maybe, just maybe Ephesians 6:13 says therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, not if it ever comes, guys, it will come. When the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. That's what you got to do. You got to stand. So this whole last part of Ephesians is the whole concept of stand. So look at verse 14 of Ephesians 6. Stand firm then. Stand firm then. And then Pastor Jim's going to teach on this next week, the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the readiness of the gospel of peace. In addition, take up the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, the helmet of salvation. That whole thing, the armor of God, we're going to teach on that next week. But in the meantime, we've got to get this concept down within us, Nan, that we have to stand. This is not a stand if you feel like standing. You know, in our church, when we have praise and worship, I usually say something like, if you feel like standing, if you can stand, please stand. Mm-hmm. But some of you physically may not feel up to it and you can sit. That's totally different. We're not talking about a physical position.
Right.
We're talking about a spiritual, emotional position that we take of standing, not giving in, you know? So let me finish this, and we're going to talk about this. You take all this. You pray in the Spirit on all occasion with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. I think one of the keys right here to learning to stand is being alert. And I wrote it on our board today when I was preaching, teaching. Be vividly aware. Vividly aware. I mean, be engaged. Realize when the devil's trying to mess with you. And then I think a lot of people go through life, and those verses I just read from Ephesians 6, starting with 10 down to 18, are like Greek. There's so many people like, really? What do you mean? Stand? Stand against what? So let's define first what we have to learn to stand against. Carol, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Cool. Hi, Carol.
Hi, Nan. How are you?
I'm okay, Carol. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. It's wonderful in Georgia. The sun is shining. It's the most beautiful weekend we've had in probably 3 months.
Cool. Great. We're glad you're having that.
Yeah, we're having a pretty nice one here, too. But Carol, I'm on a bandwagon right now about teaching people to stand up against the attack of the devil. You and I have walked with the Lord, and Nan too, most of our lives, if not all of our lives. And haven't we seen so many soldiers of the Lord fall by the wayside? I mean, just give up, just quit praying, quit studying the word. And all of that, just like, oh, this is too tough, this is too hard, you know, complacency, laziness, apathy. Talk to me about that, Carol.
I think quite often people who have felt that they have stood the course become so, like you say, apathetic. They become disillusioned, disgruntled, discouraged, because I think so often people, especially people as they age out of this world, begin to wonder,
age
when
out.
Is time coming? When is he coming back? I've fought all this great fight for my life, and now my time is ending, and I don't see a change in people, even the people that they live with, work with, family members and so forth. You know, it's very difficult to make people change.
That's right.
When it's something they can't see.
Right. And if they don't see the need, and if God hasn't opened their eyes to that need to change, a lot of times people, I agree with you, Carol, they just drift into a state of apathy. In fact, Nan and I and three or four others at lunch today, we were discussing this apathy, weren't we, Nan?
Yes.
Just how people just kind of get lulled to sleep and get off guard. You want to comment on that, Nan, before I get back to Carol?
Well, they just don't pay attention where they are.
Right.
You know, they're just not, I mean, I have been guilty of this. I know, you know, just, you kind of like, okay, and then you just kind of let things go, you know, let things go as far as maybe what you're supposed to be doing and things like that.
Stop reading the word.
Stop reading the word, stop praying, stop utilizing when God allows opportunities that you maybe should would be able to share with someone that
right.
you may meet in McDonald's or something. But you don't take that opportunity. I think we just get lackadaisical and, you know.
Absolutely. And it's too easy to get complacent. Carol, talk to me about this, because I think this is one of the devil's biggest tricks and biggest deceptions, Carol, is to lull people asleep. God's people.
People are lulled asleep because it's a routine world. You have a routine that you do every single day. I don't care if you work or don't work. And you can just caught up into that nonsensical frame of mind thinking like, well, this is all there is for me. I get up in the morning at 6 o'clock. I have my routine. I say goodbye to the children, the husband, the wife, the dogs, cats, whatever it is, and I go out the door to this same old, same old, same old world. It is a lack of enthusiasm. They can't, on their way to work, look up and say, oh, Jesus, thank you so much for that beautiful blue sky. Look at how everything is green. Your palette is so gorgeous. We become lulled into a routine for which we seem to have no discourse in leaving.
Well, and Carol, by what you just said, that goes right along with what I wrote on the board today. We have got to become vividly aware. Those two words just really jumped out at me this morning as I was preaching. Vividly aware. You know, it just means that come alive. Be the word, the prefix viv, V-I-V, is got a root in the Latin of a meaning life. And,
you know, apathy,
yeah.
basically, from reading from Webster's, it's a feeling with no emotion.
Apathy
is? You're impassive,
okay.
Not interested,
all
indifferent.
Right.
And how often do we see that? We see it in our world every single day. There's a tragedy somewhere. Somebody's on a lake up here in Georgia and gets run over by a boat, and I bet you couldn't shake a stick in there today with people on boats. And somebody gets hurt, and it's like they're apathetic. Nobody looks up and rushes to aid. It's like, oh, well, this is the lake, and there are a lot of boats, and it's not my time to do that. We don't become involved even in our own neighborhoods and
right.
see the patterns of life in
yes.
our own neighborhoods
yes.
and protect that.
Right.
We don't protect the personhood of people being attacked or bullied.
But again,
we're apathetic. We turn
yeah,
it off. That's
it's
not my job. That's somebody else's job. And we bring that into our spiritual life. It's not my job to keep myself informed. That's why I go to church on Sunday. What do you mean I need to study?
Right.
Pastor, what's wrong with you?
I mean, I know, you're right,
put
Carol.
Effort into this.
Yes.
I'm not just throwing money in the pot and you're going to feed me like a baby.
Carol, that is so right on. And you know, you and I are both big baseball fans. And I love it. Last night I was finishing the tail end of a Rays game that we lost to the Yankees 4-3, and we had it won, and then it fell apart. But at one point, here's a guy on first, and all of a sudden he runs to second, and nobody is like aware, and the commentator said, well, he got to second on indifference. And
yeah.
I love that, because Dwayne Stats always calls it that, and I love that, indifference. In other words, well, nobody was paying attention, and nobody really cared whether he got there or not. So he got there on indifference, you know?
We can say that about people in the
yes.
normal, everyday, workaday world, or just life world for themselves. They got to where they are on indifference.
Right.
Nobody cared how they got to where they were. Nobody cared if they got to work. You may have a coworker living down the street from you. You pass every single day. You don't offer to stop and pick that person up or say to them at work, let me, you know, I'm going straight home. Why don't you ride with me? We're indifferent.
Right.
That person gets there because of our indifference. People lie in hospital beds dying with nobody saying prayers over there and caring for them because of our indifference.
Okay.
Then people get to where they are because of the Christian's indifference.
And it's time for this to stop. And we are sounding an alarm today on this show that you cannot take a stand against the devil if you're just living in apathy, laziness, and indifference. In fact, God was so intentional. And if you take notes, you need to write this word down, intentionality. Intentionality, because God, in the perfect plan before we were even created, intentionally set things in motion so that we would need a Savior. He intentionally planned to send his son to this earth. He intentionally allowed his son to die on that cross for our sins. It was not in apathy or indifference. It was totally intentional what God did. And what God did, we've got to learn to become that intentional. Talk to me about that.
Intentional because he was thinking, I'm sure, and I don't pretend to think like God does, but is it in his intention? He knew that we would have to die to the flesh and be born again in him in order to reach a heaven with him for the remainder of time, eternity forever.
Exactly.
And it was his intention to be with us,
absolutely,
to share with us.
And if he is intentional, we have got to become very intentional in our spiritual walks. Nan, you had a comment here a minute ago. Maybe you've lost it now. I don't know. Go ahead.
And adjusting my microphone must have taken my attention off that. But no, I mean, we do need to walk intentionally.
Yes.
And that is something that, you know, you have, you know, been teaching, you know, and we've heard that, you know, several times. And it's worth hearing again because a lot of times we don't necessarily walk like that.
No.
You know, all of a sudden, I'll be bebopping along and I'm not walking intentionally. Well, where'd that happen?
Right.
You know,
exactly.
It happens
so easily.
You know, it just, wow.
Well, when you think of this concept, sit is you're sitting there. You can like sit in a chair. You can kind of relax and whatever. Walk, that's intentional act. You know, if you're not, you know, you intentionally walk. Stand is even worse. I mean, to me, it's easier to walk than it is to stand very long. If you think about it, I can sit all day in a real nice recliner. I can sit for a long time, watch a ball game. I can walk. I love to walk on the treadmill, get out and walk. That's great. But when you stand physically in one, just think about the soldiers of Buckingham Palace. They change those guys pretty quickly. And I mean, regularly. They don't make them stand for 3 days at a time.
Right.
But the act of standing requires muscle control. It requires focus, attention, so you just don't sit down. Don't you think, Carol, it's harder to stand than it is to walk?
Especially for me. I find it very difficult to stand, especially at the orthopedic things that are binky-bonking around in my body. But I think standing, when we consider the literal word of standing, you're right. It takes muscle control. It takes strong bones. It takes thought to stand.
Yes.
You know, you look over and there's the bench, and you go, I could walk to that bench, but my duty is to stand.
Right.
It's very difficult for me to do that, the person says. I have to stand and think. I have to stand and be still. I have to stand and be purposeful.
Right.
Well, hello, God's getting your attention.
Right. And as we understand this concept spiritually, this is what we are told by Jesus to do. In fact, in Luke 10:19, which I love that verse, Jesus said this, Luke 10:19. He said, I have given you authority. That authority came from Jesus. I have given you authority. That means you have the right to do this. I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions. And in the original Greek, that means against evil actions and evil words. I have given you power and authority, Jesus said, to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any way hurt you. That verse is needed by a whole lot of listeners today. Luke 10:19. That's what Jesus said.
When we stand, if we say we're going to take a stand against an action or a vote or whatever it might be, we have to have courage.
Amen.
And those of us that stand for the resurrection of life through Jesus Christ, we take an awful lot of abuse.
Right. Absolutely. So it's not easy to stand.
Stand firm, putting on that armament of Christ, knowing that we will face adversity, knowing that he will be there with us. It takes a lot of courage to stand.
It does take courage.
Courage to stand if you're in a stadium and everybody's sitting down and the national anthem comes on, everybody's just sitting there looking, and you stand, watch how many other people get up with you.
Right.
They don't have the courage to stand out in the crowd.
That's a good point.
They don't have the courage to stand on a corner and speak to people about God. But when they see other people congregating or following suit, all of a sudden they become more empowered to do the same thing.
Good point. And back to this whole thing of the book of Ephesians where we've been, sit, walk, stand is in that order for a reason. You have to learn to sit and with confidence and know who you are. You gotta realize that what Jesus did on the cross for you gives you the right to stand because of what Jesus did. The blood bought church is, we're going to do that song in a minute. It's all about the blood of Jesus and what he did on the cross. So we learn to sit with confidence. We walk with courage. You just brought that out again, Carol, and I'm just going to keep hammering these points today. We walk with courage and we stand with no condemnation. And this, we're going to talk about that in a little while, about the no condemnation. One of the devil's biggest tricks. But the whole concept here is we got to learn to stand, and we can't stand if we don't believe that Jesus died on the cross for us and that we are forgiven because of his shed blood. It's all about that, Carol. And I don't know about you, but I've met a lot of people who believe that there is a quote-unquote higher power. But when it comes to coming right down to believing that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, walked this earth, died on the cross, shed his blood for the forgiveness of our sin, they don't want to go that far in what
they
believe.
They don't want you to interrupt spirit either. You know, I've recently received a couple of emails. And one of they were both from the same person, but it talks about sending spirit messages to someone who was ill.
Oh my gosh, that's,
you know, and they mentioned this person by name, and
that's
this
not
is a personal friend, and they mentioned this person by name and said, "I will send spirit to you."
Oh, that's not scriptural.
And I know it isn't, you know it isn't, but those are the same people that don't, openly avow in their heart and openly say to other people, I am a child of God.
Right.
I'm a follower of Jesus the Christ.
Right.
They simply say, Spirit will carry, and I always kind of do it in this little sing-song voice because it kind of lends it to me. I hear a flute in the background. I see a little smoky cloud coming up, and I feel that Spirit will be there for you. I will send Spirit to encourage you.
Well,
send me Spirit, send me God.
Exactly, the Holy Spirit.
Spirit, I've got Spirit in my heart. I'm a rabble-rouser. I'll stand up and talk against things that are wrong.
But, Carol, so many people don't want to, and Nan, you can jump in here, too. They don't want to go so far as acknowledging that the gospel is all about the birth, death, resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. They don't want, they're okay about talking about a heavenly or a higher power or you know, but when it comes right down to the blood of Jesus, they don't like to talk about the blood of Jesus. Nan, comment on that. We'll go back to Carol.
I think sometimes they don't want to do it because they feel there's going to be personal requirement or something. If they believe that way,
There is. You got to get saved.
Well, there is. But I mean, they're afraid of what will it mean? What will it take? How much is going to be taken away from me if I decide to accept this Jesus Christ as my Savior?
Right.
What's going to be expected of me? And, you know, I think sometimes people avoid wanting to talk about it just because they don't want to have any level of commitment to anything.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, and it all boils down to that personal commitment to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And it's all about what Jesus did on the cross. And, yeah, we can't stand if we don't have that whole thing settled in our hearts. You know, we can't stand. Carol, do you have a comment on that before we do this song?
Yeah, I do. I think Nan is on the right track. They face public scrutiny. They face scrutiny by their friends. You don't want your friends, by and large, to say, well, why did you say that?
Right.
I mean, why do you feel that way, Carol? What's wrong with spirit? What's wrong with higher power? And I said, because I stand as a child of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And then they don't want your friends and people that you speak to that are still in that mode of spirit and the flaky little flames and all that, they don't want to relinquish.
Right.
They don't want to give control. of any part of them to a person they don't choose to give it.
Yeah, that's right.
Christians throw their hands up by and large and say, Lord, I confess that you are
right.
The person in my life that guides, directs, leads, and so forth. I hand you now, Father, I relinquish my spirit to you.
Right.
I will walk in you, talk with you,
amen,
talk with you, live with you, pray with you. I am no longer a spirit person of the world. I am your child.
Amen.
I walk with you. I speak with you.
And that's
people don't want to relinquish that.
Right. And
they want that little measure of control in their life. It's like you have $1,000 and somebody comes up and you said, look, I know you're kind of hurting. Why don't I just give you some money? And you hand it over to them and you say, now here's the payback. You must do the same to someone you know.
Right.
I don't want you to pay me back, but you must move forward. I guarantee you 2/3 of the people that you were to do that to would not relinquish all of the funds you just gave them
to
someone else. And that's what we don't want to do. Humans do not want to lose the power of control over their own life.
Woo, boy, is that true. And we've got to do that in order to stand. We
have to be humble.
Absolutely.
What do you do when you get humble? You relinquish everything.
Right. And that's what you have to do. In order to stand, you have to give things up. Woo. And we're going to talk more about that after this song. But I want to remind everyone, we have internet up here right in front of Nan in the studio. We are live. If you'd like to comment, just send a note, send a question, whatever. We'd love to hear from you. Pastor at BOHM, that stands for Beacon of Hope Ministries, global.com. Pastor at BOHMglobal.com. We'd love to hear from you right now. I asked Connie to put this song on. It's by some people I know. Not well, of course. Bill and Gloria Gaither from my neck of the woods in Indiana. The Blood Bought Church. Old song.
Church, the redeemed, and we are in that army of the Lord.
Praise God. Hey, did you like that, Nan?
Well, you know, I don't think I liked it nearly as much as you liked it.
I loved it.
I've been in this studio. If I'm not on the radio show, I'm usually here because it's my evening service. So
right.
For 2 years, and I've seen you get excited. I thought I was going to have to pull you down off the ceiling there.
Man, I love
you
that song.
Going. Man.
We used to do that at Cornerstone. Betty and Megan, if they're listening, remember that. And
oh,
I just
man.
Love that song. We're the blood bought, the church, the redeemed. So we're going to get back to Carol as soon as I read you these verses. Ephesians 2:4. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you've been saved, and God raised us up with Christ. There it is. That's that seating where we're seated. And seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. And I love this verse, which is Ephesians 2:8. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It's a gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared beforehand for us to do. Grace. It's all about grace. We're the blood-bought church redeemed. Carol, you know that old song, don't you?
I've heard a lot. We have a lot of the Gaither-type music in, what's the woman's name? Vessel Goodman and all of those, Vessel Goodman. We have all of those old time things, and we just get a foot stomping going around here sometimes. And, and we just bust out and praise God all over the house, you know,
that's
just
right.
Run through, and even with my beat up legs, I can still kind of move a little bit to that, you know.
Yes.
Once you're walking in the Lord, you can do most anything you want to do.
That's right. And don't you think it is exciting to declare the power of the blood bought church? It's all about that because of what Jesus did on the cross. It's
you know,
all
I
about
think
that.
Sometimes today, churches, especially newer churches that seem to be popping up on every street corner, they tend to forget that.
Right.
I don't know what their basic precept is or where they think they came from, but if they come from this scripture.
Right.
And
it's
if they don't
all
read this
that.
Scripture and know that they come from this scripture, then they need to go back and revisit again.
Well, we can't stand for something unless we know what we're standing, you know, against. Because so often, you know, people say, well, you know, I'm for liberty. You know, well, what is it you are trying to avoid? Well, I'm trying to avoid bondage, okay? When we're standing for God's promises in the Word and we're standing on what the Word says about us, we are standing against the fact that the devil is always trying to take the promises of God away from us. To diminish them, to diminish the blood of Jesus, to say, oh, we don't need to talk about the blood. We don't like to talk about the blood. You know what? At Beacon of Hope, we love to talk about the blood of Jesus because it's the blood of Jesus that changes us, and it's the blood of Jesus that had to be shed in order for us to find salvation. We love to sing and talk about them. You're right, Nan. I was going nuts in here in the studio right now. Nan was just, wow, just woke her up. Yeah. Because we've got to, if in order to stand for something, Carol, I believe we got to know what we're standing against. Mm-hmm. We're standing against apathy. We're standing against laziness and not caring enough to say, wait a minute, this is about Jesus dying on the cross. It is about the shed blood. We are the blood-bought church, and we're not ashamed to talk about that. I can tell you both are thinking I'm a little excited about this. I am. I get excited about the blood of Jesus.
It's okay. We'll follow suit.
Without the blood of Jesus covering us, we wouldn't be anywhere, anytime, anyplace.
Amen.
We have got to always plead the blood of Jesus over us. You know, I know that in prayer and at Beacon, when they come up for prayer with you individually.
Right.
And those of us that would stand and pray for others as you prayed.
Right.
For others. It is all about the blood of Jesus.
Yes.
You can feel when the blood of Jesus flows through your body.
Right. Yes.
To the person you're standing in front of. There's just something that happens in the prayer's body and the person receiving the prayer. Quite often they just simply faint in the blood of Jesus.
Well, when they begin...
And it's an important thing
yes.
that we need to remember that.
Yes, when we begin to realize the importance of the blood of Jesus. This is one of our biggest weapons when we fight and stand against the tricks and schemes of the devil. One of our biggest weapons is the blood of Jesus. So when we are up against all kinds of problems, we need to plead the blood of Jesus against that situation and over our minds. I can tell you, Nan and Carol, there are so many times we all go through times where our minds are just absolutely overwhelmed with the enormity of our circumstances, whatever that might be. Or the pain that we are having physically, emotionally, whatever, or hurt or whatever. And when we begin to plead the blood of Jesus mm-hmm. over our minds, that diminishes. It's a weapon. It's a weapon. It's a weapon. Nan, you want to comment before we go back to Carol?
Well, like you say, it is a weapon. I mean,
I
can remember times, you feel down, I can't go
right.
on, I'm not going to make it.
Right.
Go crawl in bed, cover your
exactly.
head with the sheets, you know, I'm just going to curl up. There's nothing wrong with going home resting.
Right.
There's a difference between going home resting and going home to bury yourself under the covers.
Amen.
And there's been times for me that I have gone home
mm-hmm.
and buried myself under the covers and said, this is, and it's like, wait, no, you don't have to do that. And
just, right.
The power of just the blood, the power of praying, you know, it's like, no, I'm going to take a stand against this. I'm going to fight
yes,
against this.
Yes.
And then as you get really into it, you really start praying. I resist this in the name of Jesus. I'm covered by the blood of the Lamb. You know, you can just like get yourself out of where you were.
You can.
Because
yes.
you were sitting there going, I plead the blood of Jesus over my mind.
Now that's taking a stand.
Right. I resist, say, the depression in the name of
yes.
Jesus.
Yes.
I don't have to take that in the name of Jesus. I'm covered by the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Jesus Christ. And boom, you know, it can move in that. And you get up, you get busy, you get productive, you go spend time with God, you read, whatever. At least you're not curled up in the covers. You know, and there may be someone out there listening either live or at a future time, but you don't know what I'm facing. Well, you know I don't, but you know who does, God.
Amen.
And that same formula of pleading the blood of Jesus over your mind is equal for all. God does not know respect of persons. He's
right.
not respect of persons, and we can do that. It's available for anybody who wants to choose to do that. I would challenge them to try to do that.
Amen. Nan, golly, Carol, did you hear all that? She was on a roll
I think
there.
She just opened up and tell us how she really felt and how it has changed her and what the blood of God and blood of Jesus has done in her life. And man, that's a powerful statement you just made.
Right.
Well, thank you.
It's an honest statement. It's a forthright statement coming from someone who has dealt with dark times. And, you know, now that the blood of Jesus you can reach out and call for it to cover you, look what amazing things you've done.
Yes. Yes.
And continue to do.
She's doing it. She's doing this, and so she can speak adamantly and strongly about it.
You know, how many people go home from a church service and or don't even go home? They leave the church service and go straight to a radio program.
Right.
Not everybody. I mean, look around you. Who's there with you?
Nan.
Just the pastor.
Nan.
So does that mean everybody else just hit for the door to the beach, you know?
No, a lot of them.
The church
listen.
I attended in Tampa when I lived in Florida and attended a church in Tampa, and you see people come dressed nicely. And the minute that the amen was said for the last time, you saw skirts coming off, people running to the dressing rooms to change, and they hit to the beach.
Right.
If you could have gone on the beach and said, what was the message today? I don't know.
Right.
I was just there because, you know, it's beach time. Well,
yeah.
You know, that's kind of negates why you were there.
That's exactly right. No,
but, you know,
yeah.
being able to say, this is my evening service of church. I need this to fulfill my supply of Jesus for this day.
Well, and that's exactly right. When Nan says that, she means that. Me too. I get so excited to be able to come to the radio mm-hmm. and to share words of life because, and I jokingly say this, and I think I said it this morning to Beacon, I can't wait to hear what I got to say. And
right,
it's and I'm
you're not the one saying it.
Right, exactly.
The ideas are coming
yes.
into your head because
yes.
that's what God is doing. You are right. The intermediary.
Right. And so when we have an excitement about coming into the house of the Lord, or we have an excitement about hearing the word of God on the radio show, whether it's live or later on the website, when we are excited about learning the word from other ministers on the TV or wherever, there's so many out there teaching the word of God. We are certainly not the only ones out there doing that. But when we devote time and attention to the study, it says in Timothy, Paul said to Timothy, study to show yourself approved. You know, be diligent in your study. Don't give up this learning process. Carol, you and I were both teachers, you for a lot many more years than me, but it's so important to get students to realize they got to study, they got to do homework, they got to get the truths down on the inside of them, isn't it?
You know, what we're doing right now, you and I and Nan and everyone listening that has a heart for Jesus, what we're doing is we're studying for our final exams.
There you go.
We're
good
trying
point.
To move out the practical parts.
Woo! Yeah, we are.
But this is our final exam. We won't get a second time to do the first thing the first time.
Because Jesus is coming back soon, so we need to all get serious.
And once we have all of this down inside us, then we can stand tall, we can stand firm, we will not be moved. And we're going to face yet even more and more and more difficulty, because Satan wants to show Jesus that we're actually his, and he can put his finger on us and say, perform, marionette, do your little puppet show.
Right, but we're not giving in. We're learning to stand tall in the promises.
Jesus says, you will stand. I'm with you. Stand tall. My right hand girds you up.
Yeah.
The words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart come from Jesus Christ.
Amen. Woo! We're going to get back on this topic in just a few minutes. And we want to invite you to Beacon of Hope if you're in the Tampa Bay area and you want to visit us in our Clearwater, Florida location. We are on Almerton, easy to find, 3580 Almerton. We are currently meeting in the Ramada Inn temporarily until we can get our new space. But you are welcome to join us Sunday morning at 10:30 and Wednesday night at 7 for Bible study. And we always have amazing services, don't we, Nan? We never know what God's going to do. And there was a lot going on this morning.
There was a lot going on this morning. Oh, man.
And the hotel has put this huge dry erase board on the wall for me. We put our words of our music up on the TV that they put up there, which is great. But this huge dry erase board, I just fill it up and fill it up and fill it up. There's hardly a corner left when I'm teaching, right?
No, and I like to photograph it with my camera.
Yeah, you take pictures. There were people taking pictures around the room today of the board.
I've been taking pictures of that for a while. You know why?
Why?
Well, I'm getting them all printed as little 4x6s, and I'm taping them on the wall by my bed.
Whoa.
Just so I can have, you know.
Learn. And go back over the concepts.
Go back over. I mean, by the time you get it that size of picture, it loses some. I still have it on my phone then, so I can look at it.
Oh, that's great. Praise God.
It brings it more, for me, it brings it more alive, too.
Amen.
Of exactly what it was like when you were teaching it.
Amen. We are all, at Beacon of Hope, our priority, as you can tell on this radio show, is the Word of God. And our slogan is, where the Word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives. Let's do station ID, and we'll be right back.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.
All right. And we're so glad we're on the live streaming around the globe. So wherever you might be, you can pick us up 3 o'clock Tampa time, whatever that translates to your time, wherever you are. Carol, we mentioned the prayer team, and you and Pastor Jim are the ones who so graciously labor in that ministry, part of this ministry. And the amount of prayer requests that come in just gets more and more. And the praise reports are wonderful. And we have had a huge week of prayer requests, but we have also had some tremendous answers to prayer. And would you just say a word of encouragement to people to go ahead and send their requests in if you want to?
I would invite people to send any request that they might have. If they're going through consternation of any time, any type, hard times, depression, joyous times, they want to share information, they want to pass to us, if they will just simply write prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com, then they will be able to be received by myself and Pastor Jim.
Right.
And then whoever receives it first typically is the one that writes the prayer, and sometimes we both have done it conjunctively.
Right, yeah.
Because the need was so great, it just needed to go further and further with different words and different hearts and thoughts praying. It's a wonderful, viable ministry, and if you're alone and you don't feel like you have anybody to talk to, please don't do what I used to do and pick up the phone and dial time and temperature. They don't care about your needs. You know, but
right.
Write the prayer line. We will pick it up. We will get the response as quickly as we can, and then please cover us again with your praise reports. Our prayer team, which travels all over the world, really enjoys hearing about the praises of things that have happened.
Yes. Oh, there's been so many amazing answers to prayer. And, you know, one of your friends up there, her name is Kim, went through a tremendous problem a few weeks ago where they thought she was dying and had a terrible diagnosis in her brain. But after much prayer and the prayer team just buckling down, and I'm sure a lot of other people, she now, that diagnosis has gone away. She's going to be fine, and she is fine, isn't she?
She is fine. She has a periodic, really bad headache.
Okay.
But
well, let's pray about that.
She's doing much, much better, even though she is still seeing the physicians and they're still trying to make sure they have the right medications for her needs. But the threat of immediate death has been just totally dispelled. And the fact that it now has been discovered to be a genetic event rather than a catastrophic event that just developed. One of the interesting things, and these two women sitting in the studio today fully understand what I'm saying. There have been instances when the doctors have given up hope, and they've given terrible diagnosis to some people who've written this last prayer. And as the doctors get in, as this team begins to pray very hard for the situation, the circumstances change. They go back in for an MRI, X-ray, sonogram, whatever it might be, and the doctor said, well, it isn't there.
Right. We've had that happen how many times? So many times.
Oh, my goodness. We can't begin to tell you how many times, because we don't, you know, they saw the film. Everything is there, just like with Kim. It was supposed to be a death sentence.
Right.
And they went back in after prayer, after much prayer from the prayer team, went back in within a week or 2 weeks. They can't find what they saw on film.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. You know, and it's not a magic act. Nobody's waving a magic wand, taking these things. Mm-hmm. We don't remove cancers with a magic act.
No.
We move things because the faithful pray for people.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Carol. prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com or prayers@bohmglobal.com. Both
day
of those
night.
Work.
If it comes in, quite often I'm up very late.
Yeah, doesn't matter what time. Yeah.
At 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. So
exactly. Doesn't matter.
We don't have a time frame. It's all
Amen.
On what Jesus puts in the day.
We want you to use our prayer line. It's 24/7, 365, prayers@bohmglobal.com. Listen to this song by Petra. The battle belongs to the Lord.
Heavenly armor will enter the land. The battle belongs to the Lord. The weapon that's fashioned against the shall stand. The battle belongs to the Lord. We sing glory and honor, power and strength to the Lord. We sing glory and honor, power and strength to the Lord.
The power of darkness comes in like a flood. Up the standard, the power of His blood. The battle belongs to the Lord.
The battle belongs to the Lord. We wage not war against flesh and blood. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 10:3. For though we live in the world, these are the words of Paul in the book of 2 Corinthians. I'm reading out of the NIV today. 2 Corinthians 10:3. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And I taught this morning a Beacon of Hope on strongholds. The devil has strongholds, and some of us have strongholds, old things of hurt or unforgiveness or resentment or fear or strongholds that we just have not been able to overcome. And in these verses right here, we find that we can destroy these awful strongholds. We demolish strongholds. A stronghold is something that is just, it's just holding you bound. It's binding you up. It's keeping you from victory. So many people have a stronghold of fear. And 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. We demolish these strongholds by learning to stand on the promises of God. We demolish strongholds. God's word says he is a stronghold. That's a place that you run to when you're running and you're upset about whatever. You run to the stronghold. It said David ran to the stronghold all the time. And David even said, Lord, you are my strength and my stronghold. You're my strong tower, my fortress. I run to you and I am safe. And we've got to learn how to demolish the evil strongholds in our lives, stand against the thoughts that the devil brings into our minds. Nan, I'm going to come to you first and then Carol, because I'm telling you, there's so many people who are absolutely oppressed in their minds by the strongholds that have happened in their past, things they've never dealt with, maybe people they've never forgiven. And these strongholds are controlling them, and we've got to learn to stand. Talk to me about this.
Well, two things come to mind. One, you know, David really had it all going there. He knew what to do. And that man messed up a world of times of serious stuff, but he would run to the Lord knowing that he
would run to the stronghold.
Mighty tower. And, you know, I think that sets an example.
Yes.
You know, he knew what to do and he did it.
Right.
We know what to do. Do we do it?
Right. Good question.
Know, and there, you know, you know, Satan will try to kind of speak to your ear a little bit and say, nah, you know, that really isn't going to change. Nah, you don't really need to do that. Well, yes, you do.
Oh, yes, you do.
You know, we just need to run to the strong and mighty tower. We need to stand when we need to stand.
Absolutely. Carol,
I want to say something about sitting.
Go ahead.
Get a visual. I want everyone to get a visual. Pastor put about two or three chairs on top of each other.
I did this.
On a Wednesday night.
Couple weeks ago.
And she just sat there. And she was above all that stuff. Her feet were dangling. I mean, that visual I still have. But what an example for us to be able to see what it's like to sit. You're sitting, all that gunk is below you.
It's below you. All the anxiety. If you put it there, if you want to carry it on the inside of you, you can carry it. But we are told that we are seated with him in heavenly places, which gives us confidence. Talk to us, Carol. Yes, I did. I piled up a bunch of chairs and sat up there like a queen.
Well, you know, we all have the power to do that. If we run to the stronghold, we have the power to sit above all the things that cause us consternation.
Yes.
We have that power through the stronghold of Jesus Christ and our relationship with him.
Amen. The blood.
We can get down and wallow in the mud very easy. It doesn't take any skill to wallow in the mud.
No, it doesn't.
All you do is lie down and keep rolling in the watery mess.
But
it takes strength to stand up. You got to pull yourself up, as we've often heard, by the bootstraps.
Well, you know, little piggies, my grandson is raising pigs now for 4-H, Carol, and you had a farm, and you understand what I'm about to say. little piggies, you can take them out and you can bathe them. And when they see a whole bunch of mud, they're going straight to it, right? And
yes,
they
and I can
roll
tell you why.
On that. Why?
Because they don't have the same blood vessel structure that other mammals have to keep them warm. And so the mud hole is actually a place for them to cool down. Their skin cools down very quickly. But what happens when that mud hardens?
Good
point. Can't get it off.
Right.
And there's a little in their front feet, there are two little holes above their last, it would be like on a dog, like a dew claw on the back of the front feet. Right. There's a little hole. And if that little hole gets impacted with mud, and and they can't get it out, they can't walk. They will stagger and fall. What happens to us when we roll around in the mud?
There you go. This is great, Carol. This is right on. What happens?
We cannot stand.
Right.
Because it's slippery, it's slick, it's dirty, it stinks. Nobody wants to be around us. We're a giant mess.
Right.
And our mind and our feet are so clogged in that mire that we cannot move. But along comes the rescuer, along comes your grandson, and he gets that piglet or that big pig out of that mud.
Right.
He cleans them off just like Jesus cleans us
Amen.
Off.
He just washes them down with the hose, you know.
And he goes in, you know, that kid or whoever owns those piggies,
Justin.
Go in and they clean out with a water hose or a gentle stick and get all that stuff out of there that's impacted them. And
Woo!
They can again, and they can walk upright and righteous just like we can.
But it requires cleansing. And 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Carol, that was a great analogy. Nan, talk to me about the fact that people don't like to confess sin. They want to ignore it. Talk to me about that.
Well, it's simpler to ignore than confess. What was going through my mind is she was talking about, you know, the
piggies,
the piggies and Justin coming on to help the piggies. And the,
right.
I thought of, I don't want to call myself a piggy, but I thought of me.
Okay.
And I
little
thought
of Piglet Nan.
Little Piglet Nan.
Yes.
And you and Connie.
Okay.
Because you were my counselors.
Right.
And, you know, we counseled a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
And,
about 20 years. No,
no. No, more like 21. but I mean, no, but you were there to
right.
help with that. And,
right.
you know, some people, if they're needing help in a particular area of what they're dealing with, they don't want to confess that
right.
because in their mind it may make them seem like they're weak.
Weak.
They may be embarrassed about what they have to say.
Right.
And in the right situation with the right people, that's all okay. You know. But at the end of the day, yes, you go through the counseling and that's important. But at the end of the day, you're the one who does the confessing.
Right.
You know, you can't do that for me. Connie can't
if
do that
we
for
confess,
me.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confession is a huge part of walking in that cleanness, that righteousness of God.
You know, it feels so good when there's something going on, you're able to confess that.
Isn't it?
And just like it's covered by the blood. We were
right.
already talking about cover. It's covered by the blood. And, you know, just to be able to walk from that with, you know, peace. This morning you were talking about peace versus chaos was on the
right.
board also. And, you know, to be able to walk on for a walk in peace, not chaos, because you chose to confess a sin. You ask God's forgiveness of that. You maybe reached out to people if you needed it.
Right.
But at the end of the day, it feels great to be able to walk in that peace.
That goes back to the 12 steps of AA, which I believe in that program. And it talks very much about making amends, asking forgiveness, mm-hmm. dealing with things, and that's the same spiritual principle here, if we confess our sins. So I propose, dear ones, we've been talking about the importance of the blood of Jesus. One of the ways we learn to stand is by confessing and really declaring with our mouth, not only the promises of the Word of God, but when we mess up, confess our sins. David said, create in me a clean heart and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Talk to me, Carol, about all this, the importance of calling it what it is, you know? If it's a sin, it's a sin.
I think quite often, and Nan is correct in this, that people feel embarrassed about a situation or perhaps even more depressed about a situation, and they're fearful that people will make a judgment call on them.
Right.
You know, I walked through that dark valley one time.
Yeah.
And it was, for me, it was a very hopeless situation. I didn't see, this was when I broke my left ankle. My right ankle had already been donated to the school system. And so my left ankle was broken.
Right.
And it just, to me, it, I know I could work well with the one ankle, but when I broke the second ankle, it was like, what do I do now? I've given you two of my four limbs, and then it ended up, before the final over, I ended up giving them three of my four limbs broken because of situations at school. And I went into such a deep depression, I could not be raised from it.
Wow.
And I just couldn't see the bright day. My mind had this fog in it. It was actually a black little fog walking around through my mind. I would look at a flower. I lost all sense of color.
Wow.
I couldn't tell you what was red, green, purple, yellow. I didn't see it. I saw dark, dark gray and black.
So depressed. So discouraged.
And so the depression lifter for me was when we were in Winter Haven, Florida, driving by a pet store, and Maxine said, oh, let's stop and go. They've got boxer puppies. I said, I don't care what they've got. And she knew right then. I mean, even after been, you know, having taken me to the counselor, taken me to the doctors, and they're all trying to help me, I'm like, I have no reason to be here. I really don't see a reason for me to be here. And through going to the pet store, I got a boxer puppy named Murphy. And Murphy, through God's wisdom, you see, God knows me, and he knows
right.
what takes
exactly.
me out of the blue funk.
Yes.
It's a boxer dog. And he had this puppy, and that puppy only lived 5 years. He died with cancer. But during that five-year period of time, I became me once again.
Yes.
And I saw the reason to continue on. And I realized that God had been chasing me for a long time. He had, all my life, had tried to make me understand that there was a purpose for me to be in close connection with him. And I was an athlete. I put everything off, and I got practice. I've got this. I've got the other. And then when he laid me down, only way I had to look was up. And the only thing I could say was, I confess to you
right.
that I will do what you have asked me to do.
Amen.
I've run from for so long.
And that's where God wants us to get.
That's right. Woo. To be able to say, I hear you, I see you, I smell you, I taste you, I long for you.
Yes, that's what we have to get.
And I long for the peace that you will put in my heart.
Mm.
And I had a lady that was taking care of me because I was in a hospital bed in my home. And I remember reaching my hand up and saying to my caregiver, Louise, I said, Louise, at this moment in time, I'm telling God in front of you that my life will forever be changed. I will do what he has called and asked me to do.
Praise God.
But it was out of the, had it not been for that puppy, which was a gift from him.
Right, it was.
It was his way of saying, look, I just left the doctor's office. You know, another bad report. I just left there. I went down the road, maybe not even 2 miles, and there was these boxer puppies. It was like God said, okay, leave that darkness behind you. I've got something brighter.
Amen.
And that puppy brought me back to the world of joy and peace and love and contentment, and I was able to get through it all.
Amen.
Because of God's grace with that puppy and God in my life.
And God so often uses things you would least expect. Nan, did you have a comment
well,
there?
Well, you know, she's talking about her baby there, and I was thinking of mine. Probably the darkest time of my life. The very darkest time of my life of all the span. I mean, it was really, 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 really bad. And I wound up, went to the Humane Society and found a basset hound. And you just don't find thoroughbred basset hounds.
Right.
Humane Society, it just doesn't happen. So I had to go through a scrutiny of being in, checked out, and my son checked out, and all that kind of stuff, for us to be able to acquire Sammy. And I always referred to Sammy as my suicide dog.
Hmm.
And that dog, God just used that dog to keep me from doing something stupid.
And that is cool, you know? That God's creatures can be minister like
right.
that. Oh, that's cool. I'm so glad you both shared that. Let's listen to this song by Chris August, Battle.
There's a battle between good and evil, and it's raging inside of me. There's a struggle, it's God and the devil,
is love against the enemy. Whoa, oh no, I'm not giving up now. In the garden, there's a beautiful apple tree. There is trouble on the horizon, but I'm claiming victory. Whoa, oh, oh no, I'm not giving in now.
War is already won. The battle is real, dear listeners. If you want to comment or ask a question, you can email us right now. If this is live, of course, pastor@bohmglobal.com, pastor@bohmglobal.com. The battle is real. Nan and Carol, I want to talk to you about the deception now that the devil throws at people to cause them to believe that we're really not in a battle, that there really isn't a devil, that we're just kind of fanatics to think that there's a devil. I know that there are a lot of people out there that really don't understand the need to stand against the devil's schemes because they're not sure he's even scheming against them. They think they're so insignificant, perhaps, that they don't have any, you know, any reason to have to stand. Do you want to comment on that, Nan, before we go to Carol?
Well, it's just a deception of the enemy. Of course, he's a deceiver. You know, people, if they're having a little difficulty or something goes on, they're, you know, instead of blaming anything on Satan, they, well, stuff just happens.
Right.
Well,
That's what they say.
Well, look at so-and-so. They have it much worse than I do.
Do we do? And I agree that that's very common thinking, and even with Christians. But we go to the words of Jesus all the way through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And listeners, I challenge you to do this. Read what Jesus talked about. He cast out demons. He healed the sick. He said, you have been given authority over evil words and evil actions. He said, the thief, Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came to give you life and to give it abundantly. He said in John 10:10, the thief tries to get into the sheep pen and steal the sheep. But I'm the good shepherd. Carol, comment on that. You've had sheep. You understand this concept. Why are so many Christians so head in the sand about the fact that we're in a battle?
Because they're like sheep.
Right.
Sheep are not the brightest little fluffy thing on the planet.
Okay.
They have to be led somewhere. They will just run helter-skelter.
All right.
You know, and to see... let's use the analogy of sheep on a field, and there's a guard dog, usually a big Great Pyrenees or St. Bernard, one of the bigger, larger dogs that are sheep herding dogs. Or But all of a sudden, out of the woods, out of this complacent little woods that just looks so pretty and green, the grass is just luscious down by a stream, here comes an attacker. Here comes a wolf or a pack of wolves.
Right.
And those sheep are going to scatter and go in every direction known to humankind. And they're not going to go in pairs of two by two. It's just everybody's for their own sake.
Right.
And that's what happens. We've got sheep relating them to people, standing around, milling around, doing whatever it is that people do. And then here comes the Satan by throwing in all kinds of things that cog up the wheels. You know, drugs, alcohol, sexual abuse, depression, lack of money, no prosperity anywhere, no hope, everything is lost. He brings all that into the herd. He's throwing it at each one of the sheep. I give you this, and I give you that, and you can take this hopelessness and run with it. And all of a sudden, this dog awakens, and this big white dog walks up and says, "Do not harm my sheep."
Right.
And that's what Jesus does. When people allow those things to disperse them from the Word of God and run scattered to the winds and seek every immoral, illegal, whatever they can do to keep from hearing the words, he will stand firm and say, "Not my people."
Amen. Amen.
He will gather his sheep back up and stand. Once again, we go back to stand.
Right.
And he will decree to them, "I am the great I am."
Amen. And I am the good shepherd. Absolutely. And you're right, Carol. And I believe as a result of prayer, we need to be praying for each other more. We need to be praying for our friends and relatives and family members who are kind of clogged up with complacency and lethargy and apathy and all this, "Oh, that stuff's no big deal. Why are you always talking about that?" The reason being, we need to teach the fact that we do have an enemy. And Jesus said in John 8:44, he's a liar and the father of lies. He's going to lie to you. We did a show on that a couple of years ago, Nan. Remember, it was June of 2011, I believe.
Yes.
It was, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
It was about the liar yes. and the deceiver. And so you can go to our website and find that show about the liar, the devil.
With Nathan and myself as well?
I can't remember for sure who was on that, but
I believe it was, because those words are striking a chord in my brain.
It very well could be. It was a strong, strong radio show in June of 11.
Well, yeah, I like to encourage people to go back and listen to that. About 3 or 4 months ago, I listened to it over a 2-day period 3 times.
Did you?
And took notes all 3 times.
Wow.
And some notes would come out that hadn't come out before. You know,
right.
You know how it is when you take notes. But I was typing.
Right.
I typed for 6 hours typing that show. I would encourage someone to do that, because it was so eye-opening and it was so anointed. You know, we've talked about these radio shows being anointed.
They are.
It's anointed right now.
It is.
But the anointing of the Lord goes out over them when they are being played also at a later time. So the same anointing
Amen.
Is on that show as it's being played in the future.
Amen.
Just as it is being played right now live.
Yes. So
that
it's okay
awesome,
if it's, yeah, it was. So we've got to teach people. We've got to declare across the airwaves, the devil is real. Jesus talked about him all the way in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In your Bible, it's probably red letters where Jesus is talking. If you read that, you're going to see that Jesus was all the time warning people, warning us for future generations that the devil is real and he's trying his best to deceive you, to pull you off in some other direction, get you so entangled with things around you. Nan, you and I heard somebody at lunch today say that they feel like our world right now, people are so glued to their phone, okay? And you and I, you know, we were commenting and agreeing with this person. Mm-hmm. But it's hard to have a conversation, Carol, with somebody that they look you in the eye without them checking their phone every couple. It just drives me crazy.
An important message come. But it's not going to come through that telephone. It's going to come when that trumpet blows and those eastern skies open up.
Amen, yeah.
And out of a cloud coming toward us will be the Father of us all.
Right.
The Savior of us all. And those of us that have a telephone connected to Jesus Christ will be saved. And my telephone, as I'm looking at it right now, I don't have an iPhone. I don't have one of those four or five generation things. I am holding the NIV Holy Bible. That is my communication. That is what I believe. Those are the voices that I hear and listen to, as well as the people who I know have been commissioned to give the Word of God to me.
Amen. And it's not that we're against the phone, because I'm a realtor. I have to use my phone a lot.
Connected with God, people.
Right. The point is nothing, not against your phone, but give attention to the Word of God and be balanced. Mm-hmm. Nan, talk to us.
Well, no, to me, it's like, to me, it's really kind of rude for someone to sit there and do that to begin with.
Right.
Thank you, Nan. I appreciate that little statement.
I mean, I do have an Android phone. I do text. I do all that. I can do the internet. I can do the email. I can do all that. But I certainly try not to do it when I'm at dinner with somebody or lunch with someone.
Right.
I even minimize the use of it at my mother's home.
Right.
I see them a lot now, and I try not to. If I get on my phone, I'm looking something up for her on the internet, you know, because I don't want to disrespect them and be rude to them.
Right, exactly.
But like Carol said, you're looking at an NIV. I happen to be looking at King James Version, but that is our phone line up to our Heavenly Father.
Absolutely.
Yes, it is. You know, to me, it doesn't matter which version, because I have about, I don't know, more than 12 Bibles.
You and Pastor Jim.
All the time, even in this study today, I have Bibles laid out in front of me. I sit in my living room in my favorite piece of the sofa, and I have my computer up on a small table, and I'm surrounded with references.
Right. Exactly.
And I read different things. Before I come on to the show, I go to different communications on the internet, and read different things and make the comments that I believe in. They all say the same thing, just like your King James says. It all says the same thing. Be a person connected to God through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And trust the Holy Spirit to always lead you in the right direction.
Amen.
You know, sometimes when you're going someplace, and maybe you haven't been that particular place, but you're meeting someone for whatever the reason, and you're driving down, all of a sudden the hair on the back of your neck starts to stick up. I pay attention, because I know the Holy Spirit's getting ready to tell me something.
Right. And sometimes he's trying to warn us about certain people or situations we might be getting ourselves into that are not for our good. And we've got to learn to listen to that voice, because God wants to warn us. This week, Nan and Carol, Psalm 23, which is a favorite of so many people forever, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." The verse, I think it's 4, it says, "Yea, though I walk through." You know, this verse has just, I wrote it in a letter to my son this week and his wife. And this verse just grabbed me this week, Carol and Nan. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." Yea, though I walk through. We're walking through all kinds of circumstances. But how do we get through that? "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death."
Excuse me, did you say that I stumble through, or I sit and wait?
I said I walk courageously
through the
valley of the shadow of death, because some of our circumstances feel like we're dying, we're going down for the last count.
Oh, like that piggy rolling in the mud.
There you go. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me."
That's right.
And people, if you don't hear anything else on this broadcast today, hear Psalm 23, verse 4. Because you're going to walk through circumstances in your life where you feel like you are walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Maybe you feel like you're going down for the last count. Nan, you were suicidal at a point in your life.
Yes, I was.
And, I've heard so many other people talk about that in my years of ministry. I've never been that way, but I have certainly heard a lot of people say that they were. That their life circumstances got them to a point where they wanted to kill themselves. And I'll tell you, if you are out there in our listening audience and you are feeling that way right now, or you have ever felt that way, just grab hold on the lifeline of Jesus and his word and stand firm against that attack. Oh, and don't give in to those thoughts of suicide. Somebody recently came up for prayer at Beacon of Hope and was battling those very thoughts. And so we have to learn to stand. Go ahead, Nan, and then Carol.
Prayer line, hard and heavy. Beacon of Hope.
Yes.
Prayer line, hard and heavy. Prayers at beaconofhopeministries.com.
Amen. Amen.
Well, you know, I was saying when you said that, I mean, the time and span of periods when I was dealing with suicidal issues, tendencies, there's actually was several different times in my adult life. One is very vivid to me. I remember I owned a gun, and I held the gun to my head.
Oh, my.
And
I don't think you've ever told me
that. I didn't tell you that. My son was about maybe one and a half. His father and I actually split up before he was two. This was towards the end of being in that relationship before getting the divorce. And, I mean, I remember I sat in my bed. I mean, I visually see it. I had a king-size dual mattress, beautiful bed. I sat on the corner of it, put a gun up to my head, and I said, I can't do it because of my son.
Wow.
Thank God for my son, or I would have done that. You know, there's been other times, you know, well, I could take too many pills, or, you know, a friend of mine, I could get her, but, you know, whatever. But I'd like to say that if there is anyone feeling that way, resist it in the name of Jesus. I know what that's like. I know what it's like to be in a relationship, because that's what he and I were in, that was so bad. It was so terrible. There was abuse going on. There was all kind of stuff going on. And it wasn't fun. It was tough. It was tough stuff. But don't give in to suicide. Don't give in to it. Fight it. Resist it. Plead the blood of Jesus. As Carol has said, send in a prayer request. It will enlist all kinds of people praying. Suicide is not the way. You're going to leave behind a lot of hurting people. It's a cowardly act to do that. I will go that far. It's a cowardly act to do that because you don't want to have to deal with what you need to deal with. Face what you're dealing with. Get in a church if you need whatever. If you're not in church, get in church. If you don't have church, send emails into the pastor here. What's your email address?
It's pastor@bohmglobal.com.
Send in emails to pastor. She'll pray with you. She'll provide you scripture. She'll provide you coping words of coping. To have coping ability to deal with. It's not to minimize what anyone's going through.
Amen.
But I've been through a lot of that stuff, and I know. And I know suicide's not the way. And I know that it was Satan trying to get me to do that, because then here I was in church. How great would that be? Oh, the leader in church once died at her own hands. You know, that would, you know, what a slap in the face it would have given to those people.
There must be somebody listening now or will
there
listen.
There is somebody listening.
I agree, Carol.
I can feel it. I'm getting...
Yeah.
I'm getting those chills that I get when I know that there's somebody there. This service has gone in a different direction than what we had all imagined.
Right.
And right now, somebody is contemplating taking their own life. Whatever the reason, hear what Nan has said. Either call the church line right now, send a message right now through the Beacon of Hope, Pastor Beacon of Hope Global, whatever it is, get it there and get it there now.
Right. And we will reach out.
We can't help you if we can't hear from you.
Amen. Amen. Do it. Pastor@bohmglobal.com. Listen to this song, and then we're going to talk on the other side, and we're going to be praying through this song for whoever you are out there. Do I Trust You by Twyla Paris.
Sometimes my little heart can't understand what's in your will, what's in your plan. So many times I'm tempted to ask you why, but I can never forget it for long, Lord, what you do.
trust you, Lord, to the day I die. I will trust you. The word says in Proverbs 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. It's a matter of coming to a realization that, yes, thoughts of suicide, depression, discouragement, all of that is from the devil. That is not from God. God has none of that in heaven. He doesn't dish out sickness, disease, cancer, depression, suicidal thoughts. He has none of that. That is not coming from God. The word says in Nahum 1:7, the Lord is good and a stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knows all those who put their trust in him. Do you trust him today? If you do not know him as your personal Lord and Savior, that is the place to start. Nan, I'm going to ask you to repeat this after me. If there's anybody out there listening now, live or later on our website, that does not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, would you repeat this prayer of acceptance of Jesus into your life right now? Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you now.
Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you now.
Just repeat with Nan, would you? I ask you to come into my heart.
I ask you to come into my heart.
I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
That he died on a cross and shed his blood.
That he died on a cross and shed his blood.
For my sins and my sicknesses.
For my sins and my sicknesses.
I acknowledge that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I acknowledge that God raised Jesus from the dead.
And that I can have forgiveness for all my sins.
And that I can have forgiveness for all of my sins.
I choose forgiveness.
I choose forgiveness.
I choose Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior.
I choose Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior.
Forgive me now, Lord.
Forgive me now, Lord.
For anything and everything.
For anything and everything.
That I've ever said or done.
That I've ever said or done.
That was not pleasing to you.
That is not pleasing to you.
Come into my heart.
Come into my heart.
Live in me.
Live in me.
I want to be your child.
I want to be your child.
I am your child.
I am your child.
And you are my father.
And you are my father.
In Jesus' name I pray.
In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Talk to us, Carol.
Well, as I'm looking at Ephesians 3 and reading from 11, verse 11, and let's see. In him, in Christ Jesus, and through faith in him that we may approach God with freedom and confidence.
Amen.
And that we can ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of our suffering for you, which is in your glory.
Yes.
For this reason, they kneel down before the Father, from whom his holy family in heaven and on earth derives his name. Pray that out of his glorious riches he will strengthen you with power through his Holy Spirit in your inner being.
Yes.
But that the Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, this is Paul, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together through all the saints to grasp how wide, how long, and how high and deep is the love of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. When we realize that that is meant for us, that
Amen.
God individually knows who we are, knew us before we were born, knew us in our mother's womb, that God does love each one of us individually.
Yes.
And however the scope of understanding is difficult to think that you are significant, you make a difference in the world, that you
Absolutely.
Would be terribly missed if you were not in this world
right.
with Jesus.
Yeah.
And he tells each of us, you're special to me. I love you for who you are. I know your goodness. I know the mercies that you have. I know how you are compassionate, not apathetic. I know how you stand for me and for my word and for the Holy Spirit to come and fill people's lives. So on this day, whatever the day may bring for Memorial Day, we pray that all the soldiers of Christ who have come and gone and died in his grace will know that they have their place in heaven.
Amen.
That they will sit forever with him and stand forever with him. And for those of us still walking the face of this earth, we have to stand. We have to stand for righteousness. We have to stand for goodness. We have to stand for mercy. We have to stand for grace. We have to stand for courage. We have to stand for strength. We have to stand up and hug people and say, you are worthy. You are worthy.
Amen.
Christ Jesus tells me that you are worthy.
Amen.
and Amen. Take these people into our courts and our houses and our homes and the churches and say, the time has not yet come, but the time he comes will be soon, and I want you to share in his mercy and grace.
Amen. And that's what it's all about. And for those of you out there hurting desperately today, for whatever situation is going on in your lives, know that Jesus is your anchor. He's your lifeline. His word is true. And when Nahum 1:7, I quoted a minute ago, I'm going to quote it again. The Lord is good and a stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knows all those who put their trust in him. Are what we are saying today on this show, put your trust in God. Actually run to him like a little child runs across a playground to their daddy's arms. Put your trust in God and run into his arms and let him help you step by step overcome whatever it is you're going through. Because God does have the answer. Learn to stand firm against the schemes and tricks of the devil. Nan, you got a final word and then we'll go to Carol.
Yes. There's a scripture, and I thought it's Psalms 29:11. I wanted to read it. It said, the Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will give his people with, fill his people, bless his people with peace. And I looked across on the other column, and we had underlined it when we were doing Bible studies. In Psalms 31, it says, I, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Further down, it says, be thou my strong rock. And then several verses down, it says, but I trust in you, Lord.
Trust.
And I'd like to get just the thing about the suicide thing. I really feel there's somebody, I feel very strong in my spirit. There's someone contemplating doing that literally right now. That's not the way. Don't go with it. I just thought I had forgotten. I one time took so much Valium that they took me to the hospital, tried to figure out what was going on with me, but they told my parents I should have died.
Right.
I should have died. And God had a plan.
Right.
And he helped me not to die.
Praise God.
And he will help whoever dealing with that.
And you're
that
now
right
ministering
now.
Years later on the radio to people, countless exactly. people around the world, as a result of you being saved from that destruction.
Exactly.
So, Nan, you don't know but for such a time as this.
Amen.
That's true. So I just want to say if there's anyone, if they need any kind of email support or anything like that, email you.
Yeah.
I'll be happy to step up
sure.
and be a support for them.
Absolutely.
You would provide me their information if they would want you to do that. But that's all I have to say. Just don't kill yourself.
That's right. Pastor at BOHMGlobal.com. Carol, final thoughts.
We're all soldiers in the field of trying to bring peace to the world through Jesus Christ. And we all have a place to stand and a place to work, and there's much left to be done for Christ. We have the soldiers who stand for mercy and the soldiers who keep us safe and warm and their families that suffer deeply when they're not there anymore. We all have to stand for something that's right and good. And the standing on the word of Jesus Christ is right, it's good, it's life-fulfilling, it's life-changing, it's peace and joy, hope and mercy.
Amen.
So today, my prayer would be that those of you listening know that you're vitally important.
Amen.
Your time isn't gone yet. You still have a plate to go. You've got one more time to speak to somebody, to save somebody by your love and your words to them and your actions toward them. Bend down and touch that person because they need you. They're so low they can't rise up. So pull them out of the muck and the mire with the word of Jesus Christ and the love of Jesus toward them.
Amen. Woo, powerful words.
Amen.
Thank you, Carol.
Thank you, Carol.
And Cedric, go ahead and start our last song a little low so I can talk over it, and then we'll restart it again in a minute, if you can do that. I love this last song. It's been on our show now for almost 7 years. It's Not Far From Jesus, you know? You're right there. He's always there to hear your cry, to hear your prayer. It's not far to Jesus. It's not far to Jesus. And so no matter how far you feel that you are right now because of your circumstances or your failures, maybe you've just got a list of things that are that you're guilty about. Remember, God's word says there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Step one, accept him as your Lord and Savior, and believe that what Jesus did on the cross, shedding his blood, was for you. Believe that. And then begin your new life, because it's not far to Jesus. It is very, very close. He's right there. And all he asks is that you reach out and touch him, and reach out and want him in your life. And that's what it's all about. That's what we're all about at Beacon of Hope Ministries. It's all about the Word of God, where the Word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives. We teach the Word. That's what we do. We're charismatic in that we believe in the charisma, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that absolutely change our lives the closer we get to God. We welcome you to a service if you're in the Tampa Bay area, Sunday morning at 10:30, Wednesday at 7, Bible study. If you're not in the Tampa Bay area, you can be a part of this ministry at a distance. We are looking for partners. We don't make a big deal about money. God always provides. But we are encouraging people to plant their financial seeds into this ministry, because it is all about the Word of God. You can go on our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. Go to PayPal and give a donation, a tithe, an offering. If you don't have a local church that you worship in, you can give your tithes. There are people who do that, who listen to this show regularly. So we encourage you to become a part of this ministry from a distance. That's fine. God bless you. Have a great week. And just know that God loves you so very much. And we've mentioned it several times during this show, but we're going to mention it one more time. Our song, our email address for all your prayer requests is prayers@bohmglobal.com. Or you can use the one that Carol mentioned, prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. It's just a little longer. So we recently revamped our website. It is fantastic. Go and visit our website, www.beaconofhopeministries.com, and you'll find out all about the work and the ministry that we have been involved in and are involved in for the last almost 12 years. So God bless you. Have a great week. We want to hear from you. You can write me personally, pastor@bohmglobal.com. My thanks to you, Nan. Part of the radio team, Carol, part of the radio team. We've got great radio team members, and I love you all, each and every one of you. Next week, Pastor Jim is going to sit in and host for me as I'm going to go to my granddaughter's graduation, and that's going to be cool. So I'll see you in 2 weeks. Pastor Jim will be here, my associate pastor, next week. God bless you. Have a great week, and know that God is right there, and it is not far to Jesus. This has been Pastor Marcia, Nan, and Carol bringing you words of life this day. And God bless you, and know we are here for you. Just reach out.
It's not far.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.